Hello, it's me, Lily, a frog. I live in a pond and I love to tell stories. Now, I don't know how much you know about gnomes, but some gnome facts everyone should know include: there are several varieties of gnome. There are garden gnomes, field gnomes, and mountain gnomes, otherwise known as alpine gnomes. Gnomes live to be approximately 300 years old, and they devote themselves to family life and to the service of wild creatures. A gnome's favorite thing on earth is to return home after a wearing day of service to a hot bath and a steamy sauna. Male gnomes have long, white, pointy beards, and they always wear red, pointy hats. But you knew that. What you need to know is that this story is about an alpine gnome named Hurley. He is only 100 years old, and he lives in a tiny, snow-covered mountain chalet with his wife, Birdie, and their twins, a boy and a girl, near a hot spring in the Rocky Mountains overlooking a vista of evergreen spike cliffs shot through with red ore and capped with blue glaciers and marshmallowy snow. Every day, Hurley pulls on his wool socks, combs his long white beard, dons his red pointy cap, and wraps himself in a coat felted from the molted fur of mountain billy goats. He straps on crampons made from the thorns of wild roses so that his feet have traction on ice and climbing trees, and he lashes a pair of telemark skis to his back. He packs a toboggan full of rescue supplies, herbs, poultices, tonics, and other medicines, strong ropes, thermoses of hot tea and broth, emergency blankets, bandages, licorice, peppermints, seed cakes, suet, ice axes, hatchets, matches, and flares. He harnesses the toboggan to his rescue mouse, Lilies. She's a little black and white spotted mouse who wears a harness decorated with red felted flowers and jingle bells by Birdie, who likes to sleep in late mornings in their warm bed with the twins. Hurley and Lilies set off into the wintry morning, looking and listening for mountain creatures in distress. If they find one, they do everything and anything they can to help. That's what service is about. On this morning, the sun rises over the snow-capped splendor of the Rocky Mountains, spilling the color pink all over the fresh twinkling snow, when Lilies, who is mostly ears, hears a distant cheeping, which she suspects is a faint distress call. The gnome and the mouse follow the sound, but it's through deep snow, so Hurley has to put on his skis. They cross a mostly frozen mountain stream, and they find a black-capped chickadee shivering on the ground with an injured wing. The poor bird is exhausted and nearly frozen when they reach him, so the gnome works fast. He gets busy making a splint to hold the bird's wing in place while it heals, while the mouse pours some warm tea from a thermos into an acorn cap and holds it to the bird's beak to sip. Then the team look for shelter for the chickadee, and Hurley spots a hole way up in an old hollow tree. The mouse wraps the bird in wool blankets while the gnome scouts the hole in the tree to see if it's available or already occupied. He uses his hand spikes and his crampons to climb up the tree. When he peers inside the hole, he finds it's empty and it's warm and sheltered. So he hollers down to Lilies, the mouse, to help the chickadee into a little hammock with rings and hooks on either side that they can tie to the ropes on a pulley system the gnome carries everywhere in his backpack. Once the chickadee is safely in the hammock, the mouse and gnome work together to hoist him up with the pulley system, and the gnome gets the little bird all tucked into the hollow of the tree with a wool blanket and enough suet to eat while his wing heals. "I'll come check on you tomorrow this time," promises the gnome before he climbs back down to his partner, who is packing up the toboggan. The pair are tired after hoisting a chickadee way up into the air, but they keep on through the snow, and before long they come across a stunned snowshoe hare. Hares are nervous creatures, especially some, and they can be frightened nearly to death. or be vulnerable to predators if they can't snap out of their own fear enough to run away. So it was lucky for this snowshoe hare that Hurley and Lilise found her, staring off into nothingness, paralyzed by fear of who knows what, while her scent traveled to the quivering nostrils of wild wolves. But Hurley and Lilise knew just what to do. Hurley got out a peppermint and placed it just in front of the hare while the mouse began to gnaw on a piece of licorice root until the combination of the smells brought the hare to her senses. First, her long rabbity ears twitched, then she blinked, her nose scrunched up a few times, and she bounded away on her mighty back legs, and Hurley chuckled. He knew she'd be just fine. Later, they helped a blue jay with a tummy ache by giving her some herbal tonic. They made some willow tea for a deer with a head concussion, and they were about to head home from their busy day when Lilise heard Pinkies crying for their mama in an underground burrow. Well, the Pinkies were baby mountain voles, which looked just like tiny little mice that live in the mountain, and they wouldn't last the night without their mama's milk. Hurley looked at the tracks in the snow, and he could tell from the little vole tracks that disappeared suddenly and the wingtip marks in the snow that a raptor, a snowy owl, had orphaned the baby voles and that they should pack them up immediately and bring them home to Birdie, who'd know what to do. Well, carefully, the gnome bundled those little babies up in poplar fluff and blankies, and he secured them into the toboggan. Hurley on his skis and Lilise running flat out arrived home just as the sun was about to set. The twins unbundled the little babies by the fire, while Birdie made a formula for them out of hazelnut milk and honey. Birdie and the twins were up every hour for the next 2 weeks feeding the baby voles and singing them lullabies. Then, just as all the gnomes were about to collapse from exhaustion, those babies weren't babies anymore, and they ran out into the wild mountain to start their own dens and their lives as adult voles. And so it went. The life of an alpine gnome was satisfying. By day, he and his trusted mouse Lilise would rescue creatures in distress. A red squirrel with a broken paw, a marmot with frozen ears, two mighty elk locked together, antler to antler, a beaver with a toothache. And at night, the gnome would come home with his trusty mouse. They'd feast on wild plum stew, drink some dandelion tonic, and have a long, hot, steaming bath and sauna with his family to soothe away every ache and worry from the day. The twins, Rain and Gale, were good little gnomes who learned quickly and eagerly all the skills and arts and graces of their parents. Rain could sing every gnomic song, and Gale could make anything out of wool. Rain knew the name of every medicinal plant, and Gale could build the most ingenious harnesses and pulleys. Hurley and Birdie were very proud of them. Imagine how terrible Hurley would feel to think he'd never see them again. Couldn't watch them grow up. Well, this is what happened. On a day like every other, when Hurley and Lilise headed into the wilderness in the name of service, Hurley discovered a baby eagle, an egret, deserted in a nest high up in a pine tree on a craggy cliff overhanging a magical but dangerous place called Dry Gulch. Hurley was climbing the pine tree with his crampons and tree spikes while Lilise was preparing a nourishing paste of insect wings, acorn pulp, and crocus tubers to feed and rehydrate the little egret. But Hurley's hand spike hit a hard knot in the pine tree, and his spike bounced right out. He lost his handhold, and then he lost his foothold, and then he plummeted down the mountainside into the gulch below. Lilise didn't hear him scream because the little egret was squawking so, and the Dry Gulch was quite poorly named, for it had a river running through it, which caught little Hurley and swiftly dashed him against a rock. He lost consciousness then, and when he came to, he was far away on a rocky riverbank with no memory of who he was or where he came from. He was cold and confused and utterly lost. Well, poor Lilise, it seemed to her that her best friend had vanished without a trace. She couldn't get up to the egret without Hurley's help. She didn't know how to climb trees, and she was so very distraught about his disappearance. So she ran home to Bertie and the twins, squeaking and pointing and pleading with her big mousy eyes, until they followed her back into the mountain and pieced together what happened there. A mule deer watched and listened with concern. She knew Hurley and Louise because they had helped her when she had a lost fawn. So she told the red squirrels, "Hurley the gnome is missing and in trouble." And the squirrels wanted to help because they knew Hurley. Hurley had helped them when the pine beetles had devastated their pine nut supplies, and they had nearly starved, but they didn't, thanks to Hurley. So the squirrels ran to the treetops, and they screamed to the birds overhead that Hurley was missing and in trouble. And the birds knew Hurley. Hurley had helped them so many times, so they soared out over the mountain in every direction, calling out the emergency until every animal on the mountain was on the lookout for the lost little gnome. It was the rainbow trout who knew Hurley's location, and guess what? He had helped them before, so they leapt and flashed out of the mountain stream until they caught the attention of a weasel who alerted a lynx that Hurley was cold, barely conscious on the riverbank, and needed help getting home. "I could help," said the lynx, "but I don't know where Hurley lives." "Follow me," said a snowshoe hare, who Hurley had taken to the chalet when he needed to be nursed back to health by Bertie because his paw was injured. The lynx gently lifted the little gnome up by his backpack and carried him home in his jaws, following the hare as he hopped straight to the chalet. Well, how glad Hurley's family was to see him safely returned by what had turned into a whole parade of animals who Hurley had helped in the past and who wanted to do a good turn by him. Louise gave Hurley a reviving poultice, and Gail put a new clean red pointy cap on him, and Bertie got a rich wild plum stew into him while Gail set the steam bath and sauna to full strength, and soon the little gnome was his old self again.